Emotional Support Animal, written by the Asexual of Spades and read by K-Burb. This is a Merlin fic, rated general audiences, in which no archive warnings apply. It features the relationship between Merlin slash Arthur, though it could be platonic if you so decide, as well as the Knights of the Round Table and Merlin. Relevant tags include Merlin has an emotional support animal, protective Arthur. Arthur knows about Merlin's magic, panic attacks, hurt slash comfort, and angst with a happy ending. It's incredible. Elian muses as Merlin sleeps, curled up into a little ball with the dog snugly in his lap, its head resting in the crook of his elbow. I've never seen him to be the first to fall asleep while we're out of the castle. Ever. I've never seen him sleep. Percival shifts to adjust the fire, wary of how much noise he's making. Part of me believed he didn't. The dog's good for him, Arthur says, the same way he always has, with the quiet conviction of someone who knows beyond any reasonable doubt that he is correct. Whenever the castle produces a new litter of puppies, the king and the crown prince are summoned to appraise the fresh crop of hunting dogs. The stable master guides them down to the stall that's been set aside for the new mother and her pups. Arthur wrinkles his nose slightly at the smell. Merlin, strangely enough, does not. I grew up around this sort of thing, he mumbles when Arthur shoots him an accusing look. I'm used to it. He sets aside how distinctly uninspired he is to make jokes about Merlin being raised in a barn for later, turning his attention to the squirming bundles of fur rolling around in the shavings. Uther raises a hand, and the stall door is unlocked, letting Arthur inside to examine them.
How did they fare?
Well, sire, tag loud in the midst of it, but that's typically how she is. Uther nods, his gaze roaming over the puppies. Arthur crouches down near the door, letting them come over and sniff him. He's been told it's good practice to get himself acquainted early, let them know his scent. It took him far too long to realize Uther didn't partake in such things. But then again, it's been a while since he believed his father to be beyond reproach. As they always do when his thoughts steer in that direction, his eyes dart towards Merlin. Merlin's gaze roams just as Uther's does, only his is softer, gentle. A bit of respect and admiration for the mother, who birthed her litter and now sleeps in the sunlight. Thinking she's earned it, no doubt, and Arthur finds himself hard-pressed to disagree, and nothing but wonder for the little balls of fur darting about the stall. A few of them nip playfully at Arthur's boots and fingers, yipping. He rewards them with gentle pats to their heads, a stroke down their backs. The mother opens one eye, assessing him, before deciding he's allowed to do what he pleases and going back to sleep. And only one runt to put down, which is some sort of record for her. Merlin's head turns. Arthur stands up, already going to get between Uther and Merlin before Uther can notice he's being stared at, glared at, more likely, and before Merlin can open his mouth and say something to get himself in trouble. I think they'll be good for us, father, he says, swinging open the stall door to block Merlin. Playing the father card with Uther never fails to catch him off guard. It shouldn't, but it does, and Arthur's not going to think about that now either. We should begin training them as soon as they're able. Uther nods, mind already elsewhere. Have the kennel master made aware. Yes, sire. With that, the king turns and begins to make his way back toward the citadel proper. Arthur lingers behind, ostensibly to watch the puppies play for a little longer, but really it's to let Merlin quietly ask the stable master if the runt has already been taken care of. The stable master glances over to see if Uther's really gone. He is. The king would never be caught dead near the stables if he didn't have a damn good reason, before telling him it's in the last stall on the right. Merlin's off before Arthur has time to say anything. How are the bakers liking their new dog? It's named Clove now, sire. They love the little thing. And the family on the edge of the city? Well, nothing quite replaces a child, sire, but they do love their gilly. Arthur nods. It's been far easier than he anticipated to strike a deal with this stable master and kennel master. The previous ones, Uther's men through and through, had killed the runts as soon as they were made clear. But these men know how precious a little pup is for any family who might need one, and so Arthur had helped them quietly smuggle the pups out in the dead of the night with a wink and a promise that they not tell anyone where they got them. Oh, sure, the smarter of the guards. And Leon, because that man knows everything, already knew. But the majority, and most importantly, the ones that would tell Uther, were none the wiser. If I may, sire, Arthur glances over. The stable master grins. I know that sweet little Taylor's lass was waiting for her new pup, but I think she can wait a little while longer. Sure enough, when Arthur makes it to the last stall on the right, Merlin's sitting there with a dark brown pup in his lap, letting it gnaw on the edge of his sleeve. He looks up at Arthur, and Arthur just sighs. The pup doesn't have a name. If it does, Arthur doesn't know it. If he didn't know Merlin were a sorcerer, he'd be staggered at how quickly the pup learns to do exactly what Merlin wants, recommending he take it up with a kennel master for training the dogs when they come of age. But he knows, and more importantly, he knows Merlin would never be comfortable teaching anything to kill, so he just sits back and marvels. The pup stays at Merlin's heels everywhere he goes. He tried to enforce it staying out of his chambers at first, only to fall victim to two dangerous sets of puppy dog eyes, and quickly relented with a sharp order to make Merlin clean it if any accidents were to happen. But they never did. The pup sits or lies down politely at the edge of Arthur's desk while he works, nosing in the sunlight or gnawing on small scraps of cloth that Merlin swears was just from his own bedraggled closet, not Arthur's. When Merlin has to leave to go on an errand, it hops up and follows him, nudging Arthur's leg as they leave. And when he's back, it always nudges his leg in greeting before plopping right back down. The knights take it in stride, the way they do with everything when it comes to Merlin. The pup sits on the sidelines with him as they train, hops up onto a table in the armory to get out of the way when they come to return their weapons. It makes a befuddled mess of itself once when all of them go to retrieve their cloaks, only to find it whimpering quietly in question, swaddled in a mess of them. It licks Merlin's face when he goes to help, leaving the two of them laughing as the knights watch on in wonder. Damn it, Merlin. Arthur swears he hears Gawain mutter under his breath. Leave some for the rest of us, would you? But Merlin's still smiling softly at his pup, and Arthur? Well, Arthur's not inclined to move to the next part of training either. Merlin has magic. Merlin is a sorcerer. Merlin is a very powerful sorcerer. Merlin is a very powerful sorcerer, serving Crown Prince Arthur Pendragon in the heart of Camelot, a kingdom so staunchly anti-magic under the iron fist of King Uther Pendragon that the first day he arrived, he witnessed an execution of someone like him. Of course, Merlin is terrified. Arthur has to give him credit. You'd never know it by looking at him. Sure, he makes jokes about Merlin being a coward, but he never means them. Not when Merlin is hiding a fear greater than one he could ever understand, and still manages to smile and joke like everything's right in the world. That doesn't mean it's always easy. One of the first things he'd done once he realized Merlin's gifts and the implications therein was to go to Gaius. First, because Gaius was bound to know about this. Second, because he wants to know why Gaius didn't tell anyone. And third, because he was worried. Not that he would have admitted it then, and you'd be hard-pressed to get him to admit it out loud now, but because his skinny little shrimp of a servant, who looked as if a stiff breeze would knock him over sometimes, was also prone to staring into the distance with the same look as some of Camelot's oldest knights. Because he'd almost stumbled upon said servant breathing hard as though he'd run the length of his kingdom, tears and a puddle of sick on the floor at his side. Because he'd laid awake the few nights they'd slept close together, listening to muffled cries and soft curses, with his chest aching as though he'd been stabbed. Because Merlin needs help, and it's not any sort of help he knows how to give. The knights can't give it either. They give it where they can. He's long ago learned his lesson about underestimating them. And once, he has to quickly duck back around the corner when he sees Gawain and Lancelot holding Merlin in their arms as he sobs. But he doesn't know what else he can do, other than check in every once in a while. Then, the pup barks at him. It startles him awake, because he's never heard the pup bark before, and then he's staring down at this little brown ball of fur growling at him, and he's out of bed the next moment. He follows it down the darkened hallways until he's standing outside Gaius's chambers, Merlin's room, and the pup nudges him through the door and... Oh no. Merlin's curled up so tightly it's a wonder he can still breathe. The pup jumps onto the bed and nudges its way into his hold, licking his face and whining softly. Merlin sobs slow ever so slightly, his head turning to nuzzle the pup's head as it patiently licks away his tears. His eyes open slightly, and he sees Arthur.
Arthur!
Shh, it's all right. You don't have to say anything, he soothes, rushing to the edge of the bed when Merlin looks like he's about to fall into the wall to get away from him. It's all right. I'm not going to hurt you. The pup whines, reaching out to grab Arthur's sleeve with its teeth to pull him closer. Arthur chuckles, shifting close enough to wrap his arms around his poor Merlin. The pup licks his cheek and, well, if it helps. Merlin lets out this adorable little noise when Arthur kisses his cheek. He stares up at him, his eyes wide, and Arthur smiles gently. Hello, Merlin, he murmurs. It's all right, see? I'm right here. The pup whines indignantly, nosing in between them, and he laughs. We're right here. Uther looks up as Merlin comes into the hall.
Arthur?
Yes, father.
Why does your manservant have a dog?
Arthur doesn't even look up. It's his emotional support animal.
His what?
His emotional support animal?
Why does your manservant need an emotional support animal? I've never heard something so ridiculous. Get rid of him at once.
It's his dog, father. It's well trained. I don't see the harm in letting him keep it.
Then get rid of him. No son of mine will have such a mutt trailing after him.
Can't.
What do you mean you can't?
He's my emotional support manservant.
Arthur.
Yes, father? Uther may rule his kingdom with an iron fist, but he did not stay a king as long as he has without learning how to pick his battles. The end.